Will Ferrell's Netflix golf comedy, The Hawk, is getting reviews that I don't think I've seen for any major streamer release this year. Lifeless is the word one prominent critic used. Another called it the worst show of 2026, which at this point in the year is a competitive field. And yet the viewership numbers, Netflix hasn't released specific figures, but has characterized them as strong for the first weekend, suggest audiences are watching it anyway.
This gap between critical reception and audience behavior is one of the most interesting structural phenomena in streaming right now. The conventional explanation is that Will Ferrell has a built-in audience that doesn't read reviews and just wants to watch him be funny for however many episodes. There's probably truth to that, but I think there's a deeper pattern. Streaming platforms have essentially decoupled cultural gatekeeping from content access. When you have to drive to a video store or pay for a movie ticket, the friction creates a filter. You rely more heavily on recommendations. When something is already on the platform you pay for anyway, the cost of trying something bad is near zero.
And Netflix's algorithm is very good at serving content to people who are likely to enjoy it regardless of critical consensus. Ferrell's audience and the critical establishment that gave The Hawk terrible reviews may be almost non-overlapping populations. The critics are right on their terms. The show may genuinely be artistically weak. The viewers watching it are also right on their terms. They're getting the entertainment value they came for. Those can both be true simultaneously.
The golf setting is interesting from a cultural standpoint because golf has been going through a significant cultural moment over the past few years. Expanded TV deals, LIV Golf's disruption of the PGA Tour, younger players, and younger audiences. A golf comedy on Netflix is a very specific genre bet, and the critical failure suggests maybe the creative execution didn't match the cultural opportunity.
All right, I want to use the back half of this segment for the What If We're Wrong exercise, and I've been thinking about which of today's stories has the most confident consensus that deserves a harder look. My pick is the Democratic Senate momentum story, the Fox News polling showing leads in six battlegrounds. The conventional wisdom is that this represents a durable structural shift, that Republican overreach on various issues has fundamentally altered the electoral landscape for November. But what's the strongest case that this narrative is wrong?
I'm glad you're raising this, because I've been looking at the internals of these kinds of polls for a few cycles now, and there are some patterns worth interrogating. First, August polling, we're about 12 weeks from Election Day, is notoriously volatile. The correlation between August polling averages and November outcomes in Senate races is meaningful, but not tight. There are structural reasons for this. Candidate quality matters enormously in individual Senate races, and in the six battlegrounds showing Democratic leads, at least two or three feature incumbents or candidates with specific vulnerability factors that the top-line horse race number doesn't capture.
What else? What would need to be true for Democrats to underperform these numbers significantly?
Economic pain could crystallize in ways that the August polling is underweighting. If gas prices remain elevated through September and October, and the Iran conflict doesn't produce a clear narrative of American success, voters who told pollsters they prefer Democrats in August might actually vote on economic dissatisfaction in November. The pattern in 2010 and 2014, midterm waves that punished the party perceived as responsible for economic conditions, happened even when early cycle polling showed more competitive races.
There's also a turnout model question. Senate polls assume a likely voter screen, but those screens are built from historical turnout models that may not fully account for how the 2024 election shifted baseline participation patterns in specific demographics and geographies. If Republican-based turnout in suburban areas is higher than the models predict, some of those six-point leads could compress to 2 or 3 points, which in close races can flip outcomes.
And one more factor, candidate-specific scandal or controversy. August polling can't account for what happens in October. A single controversy in a key race or an exceptionally strong debate performance that reverses momentum can move a race several points in 2 weeks. That's happened as recently as 2022 in Senate races where one candidate made a catastrophic debate error.
So here's the concrete signal. If you want to know whether the Democratic Senate momentum story is real or overstated, watch the fundraising disclosures at the September 30th filing deadline. Candidates who are genuinely ahead attract money. Candidates who are closer than the polls suggest often see their opponents close the fundraising gap in the late cycle period. If Republican challengers are raising competitive money in September against Democrats who supposedly hold strong leads, that's a tell that insiders believe the races are tighter than the public polling shows.
That's the specific thing to watch, not the October horse race polls, which get enormous attention but are often noisier than they appear. The money,